32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. Focused on health and performance. 32GI. Trusted sports nutrition advisors.
You're with us on 32GI Sports Nutrition. I'm David Katz, Mr. Active, joined once again by Mark Wolfe. We've covered in previous podcasts, we've looked at protein and how you take it in as an athlete. We've looked at carbohydrates, the pros and the cons of both. Today it's about fat. Of course, the Banting diet is all about fat and the amount of fat and using that as a source as opposed to carbohydrates. But first of all, Mark, looking at fat itself, what are the key sort of functions of fat?
Well, I think fat is, again, a very important component in anybody's diet. Let's look at the advantages of consuming fat. It's a brilliant source of energy, definitely the most powerful when harnessed. And as I've mentioned before, I think in one of the previous podcasts, 1 gram of fat is equivalent to 9 calories, where a gram of carbohydrate or protein is only equivalent to 4 calories. So that just shows you how powerful fat actually is. It's used to provide healthy cells. In many scenarios, it's far better for mineral and vitamin absorption. Definitely fats are major brain fuel as well. If you think about that, it's one of the reasons why omegas are so recommended, not just by medical doctors, but by nutritionists and wellness consultants when it comes to children. For the ladies out there, fat provides far better skin. Without a doubt, it also helps with the elasticity of the skin. And fats keep you feeling fuller for longer. So they satiate you for a lot longer period of time, which means that you will probably end up eating a lot less in the long run by consuming, obviously, of course, the healthy fats. If we look at the bad side of fats, there are very bad fats. And certain fats are known to cause health issues. Another thing is fats provide an excellent taste of food, and definitely great tasting food often causes overeating, which means that you'll end up consuming an excessive amount of fat. And of course, excessive fat intake can be harmful.
Now, Mark, you talked about, again, good and bad fat. Starting with the bad fat, what are the things we should be avoiding? And then following that up, what are the good fats? You talked about omegas, things like avocado. I know coconut oil is a big one. So first of all, bad fats.
Well, I think let's look at the number one, and that's trans fats, and obviously all these processed fats as well. So your hydrogenated vegetable oils, etc. When I see anything like that on a label, I completely actually eliminate that food. I would never even make it a food selection, but yet it exists in many, many processed foods worldwide. Why? Because it's cheap and it's a filler and it's used as processing aids, and food out there is a big business. So the best thing to do is stick to the more natural fats. If we're looking at natural fats, we're talking about two main forms. One that's vegetable derived and, or plant derived, let's call it. And, the other that, is animal derived. So if we're looking at the plant derived fats, that's something that I would recommend more than, animal derived fats. I'm a big fan of eating plant based fats. So there we're talking fats like your olive oil. We're talking, as you mentioned, coconut oil, avocado oil, etc., are excellent. Some of the other fats, which I think are quite good in a limited form, which are your omega-6s, are things like your sesame seed paste or tahini, as people know it. I mean, that's an excellent omega-6 fat as far as it goes. And then you get your omega-9s as well. I mean, coconut is a variety of quite a few, but very high in your medium-chain triglycerides. And one of the things I love about MCTs is that they are the fastest converted fat into fuel. So definitely an endurance athlete mecca when it comes to fat consumption. If you're looking at the animal fats, of course, there we're looking at the dairy industry, where, of course, there are some benefits when it comes to eating those kinds of fats. But I would say that they should be limited. A lot of people love dairy and they eat it excessively, but that obviously also leads to weight gain. And another thing is that that most dairy products are very much processed. So again, looking for a more unprocessed or more natural sort of a fat there. And again, if you're looking at your butters, rather go for a full fat butter as opposed to a processed butter or margarine, because the health benefits of a full fat butter far outweigh any other processed spread that you would find. And if we're looking at the other kinds of fats, those are the ones that will reside in meat. So if you're looking at beef, etc., those kind of meats definitely contain fat. And if you want to classify the two types of fats that we've spoken about, we're talking about your plant-based fats being your unsaturated fats and your animal-based fats being more your saturated fats. I think both are required when it comes to eating, but I would say definitely go more for the unsaturated fats in the diet, in other words, the plant-based fats, as opposed to the saturated fats, because generally you'll find that those definitely lead to more health issues than your plant-based fats.
Now, Mark, we know that fat's really important when it comes to exercise, when it comes to endurance. It's one of the key fuels that our body does have. But what would you need in terms of supplementation around training, around exercising when it comes to fat? Do we need to add to our fat stores?
It's a very interesting question, and I think let's answer it this way. And I always tell many athletes, if you want to learn how to burn fat, then you need to learn how to eat fat. And that's really a fact. So how do we burn fat? We mentioned it earlier. I mean, performing at a specific intensity where you're getting enough oxygen into the system, so more aerobic level activity, that's where your fat stores come into play. There's no real reason to supplement with fats in order to be able to burn fat off. Your body will naturally burn fat at a certain intensity over a long period of time. And basically, we just mentioned mitigating carbohydrate intake at that point if you want to maximize fat burn. So yes, I mean, that's the one aspect is minimalistic training, as we call it, and I think we're going to be doing a podcast specifically on that. But in order to become more fat efficient and harnessing your own natural fat stores is to probably water train a little bit more and try to take in a little bit less in order to be able to burn more. We've got natural fat stores, and that's really one of the ways that can be harnessed. But there are ways of sort of mimicking or increasing that rate of fat burn. And one of the things that I've often recommended, and we'll do a podcast specifically on these as well, but one of the things is that if you can free up a large amount of free fatty acids into the system, and obviously also load yourself with MCTs a while prior to exercise, that gives you a nice amount of fat sitting in the system that's readily available to be utilized as fuel. Of course, going and consuming an excessive amount of carbohydrates with that will not aid the fat burn. So I would recommend, if you really wanted to play, try taking some MCT oil, even adding a little bit of caffeine in there to help with the freeing up of free fatty acids, mitigate taking anything that would raise your blood sugar and see how your body responds to that. But it's as I mentioned before, MCT oil, for example, is an amazing fat which is very quickly converted into energy. It bypasses the normal process that fat would have to go through to be converted into ultimately ATP for fuel. MCT bypasses that entire process and is converted a lot quicker. So that definitely can be utilized as a major source of fuel. But you would have to train your gut, and you would have to train yourself to be able to utilize that. It's not something that happens instantaneously.
Mark, looking at recovery, what should you be doing, or what should you be consuming when it comes to fat as part of your recovery?
I think that's also a very interesting question, in that we know that if your glycogen stores are depleted, fat's not going to get it back up very quickly. It's going to take a lot longer. One of the main reasons why I recommend consuming fat post-exercise is to actually keep that hunger at bay. When you, like I mentioned earlier, when you put fat into your system, it keeps you feeling a lot fuller. The breakdown process is a lot longer. So what actually happens is it keeps you feeling fuller for longer, and you won't actually land up eating any empty calories later on through the day. So if you're going to have a carbohydrate meal post-exercise, and definitely I mentioned before you should be taking in some protein post-exercise as well, one of the things you should try and add to that meal is some fat. That will ultimately stabilize you, satiate you, and you should be eating cleaner for the rest of the day post-exercise.
Well, Mark, we're out of time for today, but some fantastic information again, and we've got some great topics that we will take forward to other podcasts, as Mark mentioned. One I'd like to look at is looking at dairy, looking at high fat versus low fat, and just explaining that more, what it actually means to people. So stay tuned. We are coming to you every Thursday right here on 32GI Sports Nutrition. For myself, David Katz, Mr. Active, and Mark Wolf, we'll catch you next time.
32GI. Leading sports nutrition provider. focused on health and performance. 32GI, trusted sports nutrition advisors.